This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 768. I am Lisa Sheps, your hostess with the mostest. I am joined today by my co-host extraordinaire, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Please, please, tax us.
It is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. On the show today, we have the Filigree Theater and their show, Above the Fold. Later on, we'll be talking to those wonderful people at Hyde Park Theater and their show, The Good Thief. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Port Arthur, Dallas, Chicago, New York, London, Paris, and Amsterdam. Stick with us. And here we are. It is the 17th.
It is.
2 days after tax day.
It is two days after tax day.
Which is why I played the song, Please Tax Us.
Yes, I saw that. I don't know how I feel.
Because it was
that.
Tax day. that was from a show called Mary. It's actually a movie.
I saw that open in your computer. Yeah. In my head, I had to do a double take. Like,
it's,
is that
I don't know it. I need to find it now. Yeah. I need to see where it's streaming. It's called Mary Jane, a musical potumentary, starring Ed Asner.
I was like, and it has Ed Asner. That's what I did the double take. I was like, wait, huh?
Yeah. So here, I got to read you the synopsis. Leaving the wreckage of the Summer of Love and arriving in Humboldt County in the far North California, Mary Jane helped to establish the largest cash crop in the state and the largest cannabis producing region in the U.S. Et cetera, et cetera.
What's the year on that?
It was not all that long ago.
Really?
It doesn't say the year on here. It did. But if folks are interested, once I post the show, there's a link to Mary Jane the musical.
Did you watch the trailer?
I did not.
It all happened so fast
this morning. Hey, let's introduce the folks that are sitting with us, shall we? So they can talk about Mary Jane and taxes.
Yes.
We're so happy to have returning to the show, Elizabeth Newman. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good. And newcomer to the show,
yes.
Julius Allums. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Maddie Scanlon. Hi, Maddie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And then we also have Maddie's mom, who I forgot her name already. What's your name?
How can you forget? It's Maggie.
Maggie.
So similar. Well,
Maggie and Maddie. And Maggie's here from, she's in from the Midwestern, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
That's where she's from.
St. Paul.
Thank you. You can't hear her because she's not talking on a microphone.
Now you're suddenly Irish.
I know, I'm Irish, which is very close. She's also Irish.
Yes.
I don't do accents very well. So did everybody get their taxes paid?
Well,
I got my tax return.
So
oh,
nice.
Yes, you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. I had the opposite of a tax return this year.
Yeah. Mm.
Now, here's what I just, you know what I want to say real quick, like?
Oh, go for it, Lisa.
I just want to say that the opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not necessarily those of co-op, the board of directors, staff, or volunteers. They're just my crazy opinion. And what the hell? When you're at the poverty level, as I am, why do I still have to pay so much tax?
I don't know. So one of my best friends, her birthday is April 15th.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and her parents thought that maybe, they decided not to do this, but they thought that they might be really funny and name her Iris, but spell it I-R-S.
Oh, no.
They did not do that.
Oh, my God.
It haunts her.
She's still haunted by it being teased
but
about
still,
it.
Still, yeah. So I actually never.
We always remember her birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, but not in the best of ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully, I mean, if people are in her life are getting refunds, as you are, then she's getting gifts on her birthday versus if she were my kid, she'd be getting nothing. She'd have to pay me. So we had two Broadway openings this week.
We did.
Dose. One was The Outsiders, which I keep getting mixed up. What's the movie about the kid that, and I think this was also a Broadway musical, that was the journalist that traveled with the 70s band?
Almost Famous.
Almost famous.
I get them mixed up.
I know.
Not anywhere near each other. No. But The Outsiders has a local connection.
Not in content or time frame.
No.
Very different. So anyway, The Outsiders happens in, it's 1967 versus the mid-70s. So,
yeah, it's pretty different when you. It's really different groups and lifestyles. Even though Outsiders is very group based, as I put in air quotes, but
Here's what they say it is. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, in 1967, Ponyboy Curtis, his best friend Johnny Cade, and greaser family of the Outsiders battle with their affluent rivals, the Sox, which stands for the Society People.
Yes.
This thrilling new Broadway musical navigates the complexity of self-discovery as the greasers dream about who they want to become in a world that may never accept him. So
then they go on tour with a band.
And they write for a Rolling Stones type magazine.
Do you ever read the book?
No.
I didn't see the movie either. It's written by a woman, but she used her initials, and she's actually in the movie.
S.E. Hinton. Yes. And she wrote it when she was a teenager.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. While she was in high school.
Wow. Yep.
Wow. Yep.
I read it so long ago.
I love the book and the movie.
It's great.
Good. Well, I didn't see either. The movie was Scorsese? No, somebody like that.
I don't think so.
But
it's Matt Dillon and Tom Cruise.
Patrick Swayze.
I forgot. Yeah. I actually saw it at the Blue Starlight Drive-In.
You guys are forgetting Ponyboy and our main people here, Ralph Macchio.
Yeah. Oh, right.
C. Thomas Howe. This is my era. This is my jam. So I was reading this book when this book came out and going to get it. And yeah.
And I guess I'm just too old for this.
Diane Lane is Cherry.
Yes. Okay. Wow. Yeah. Let's switch gears and talk about the Broadway musical, shall we?
Very excited about it all.
Did they like it? Had 14 reviews. 4 were positive. 1 was negative, and the majority, 9, were in the middle of the road. Jesse Green did not like it. Surprise, he doesn't like anything. He said one of the things he said to turn the novel into a Broadway musical, the gloss of the song and dance it entails would thus seem a category area worse than even the films. He also didn't like the film.
Did he like the book?
It's Francis Ford Coppola. I knew it was somebody
that's
big.
Right.
Scorsese, Coppola. You know, really, is there a difference? Don't say it.
I wasn't going to say it.
The opinions
he
expressed.
Tortured them. He tortured them on set. There's a great book about it.
Yeah. Anyway, and so he goes on to say, and yet the musical version of The Outsiders that opened on Thursday has been made with so much love and sincerity, it survives with most of its heart intact. Youth is key to that survival. The cast, if not actually teenage, their singing is way too professional for that, is still credibly fresh-faced. 5 of the 9 principals are making their Broadway debuts. There is no cynical distance between them and their characters is itself refreshing to see. And this was directed by Danya Taymor, who is Julie Taymor's niece.
I think so.
Niece, I believe.
Think that is
correct. And she did Passover, amongst other things. The score is by Jonathan Clay and Zach Chance, and that is the Jamestown Revival. They're the folk duo. The book is by Adam Rapp, who we've been seeing a lot of lately.
Well, I mean, he's had a lot of credits out for not new on the scene. He has been churning out a lot of new work lately, I think.
Yep. So he says, he goes on to describe all the different things that happened. There's killings. I'm not familiar with the story because I've never seen it.
There's a lot of heavy stuff.
He says, but depicting all these big events while also making room for a full slate of songs has required some compromise in a show that, and he says parenthetically, I can't believe I'm saying this, is too short at 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So Angelina Jolie is a producer on it. along with one of her children, Brad Pitt, one of the Jolie Pitt children. She saw it. She's obsessed with the book and knew they were working on it and asked her mom if she could be part of the process because she doesn't ever want to act, but she likes the back end scene. So Angelina got Jolie, got totally involved. And there was a really cool article of her on her about, like, I didn't realize the difference between, you know, I knew there was a difference between theater and film, but producing and working on new work. And she was so thankful her teen brought her into this. But this teen has a producing credit now from, like, connecting dots and helping it traverse the way that you could. I just found
and
that
we
kind
also
of fascinating.
Have
or college resume.
We also have a local connection. Yes. One of the producers, Laura Galt, and her company here in town. So congratulations to her. He ends his review by saying, it's a strange paradox of Broadway that its bigness, when used humbly, can honor quite delicate ideas. Whether it can sustain them is another story. In The Outsiders, they are not sustained. The structural problems mean its achievements don't stick. But they're still achievements, and a show need not be for the ages to be for the moment. In that sense, it's fair, citing Frost, to call it golden, nature's hardest hue to hold.
Well, because there's a whole stay gold.
Yeah.
That's why he used the golden reference. I caught where he was going with that.
Other critics, Matt Weinman of AM New York said, at its best, The Outsiders is fresh and rambunctious with an attractive period country pop score, well-executed choreography, and an industrial design scheme that is seamless and atmospheric. Robert Hoffler of The Wrap said, ends up being a showcase for new impressive stage talent. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Holdren of Vulture said, if The Outsiders sometimes traffics, perhaps unavoidably in cliche, it makes up for it with the tenderness and muscle of not just its songs, but its staging and performances.
Yeah, I'd go see it. Everything I've seen so far, I've enjoyed. And everybody, I haven't heard bad things about it until New York. So it's the jaded people, I think, that are just reviewing so many things that are like, eh. But I think it'll be an audience.
Well, we shall see.
We shall see.
Yep. The other opening we had, which was just a couple nights ago, which is Lempicka, about the artist.
I'm surprised by a lot of these reviews, to be honest with you, too.
Also, not terribly favorable.
No.
There were 11 on did they like it. 2 were positive, 4 were negative, and 5 were middle of the road. And it's about an Art Deco painter. Have you seen any of her paintings?
Yeah, wild. Lempicka?
Anybody?
Mm-hmm. I don't
know who that is.
Who's that? She was a painter, mm-hmm. and she actually changed a lot of things. She was a very, very important painter for her time.
Trailblazer.
For being a woman of the time, I believe. I'm trying to remember what the time frame is. Anyway, her name is Tamara de Lempicka. She was also queer, bisexual, and that's all part of the whole thing. And so it opened last Sunday at the Long Acre. They call it, or Jesse Green calls it, a monster and a machine about this show.
That could be good or bad.
Eden Espinosa plays Lempicka.
Yeah.
And Beth Level is in here. It was directed by somebody named Rachel Chafkin.
I was about to say, this whole cast is like wild and crazy. I think you were out when Bob Tolaro co-hosted me when we started talking about this in the casting.
Yeah, Georgia Bood, which is just fun to say.
Say it again.
Georgia Bood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spelled A-B-U-D. I would have just seen it. I would say a bud. It's just me. I don't know. That's crazy.
I love that you crack yourself
up. I do crack myself up.
I know.
It is written, both the music, lyrics, and the book is by Matt Gould and Carson Kreitzler. And that's it. And let's see what I got. Chafkin depicts the Russian Revolution and later the progress of fascism across Europe too prettily, with big flags, shouted slogans, choreography resembling salutes and goose steps, Choreographer is Raja Feather Kelly, and flashing red lights lighting by Bradley King that add up to an anemic Les Mis.
Oh, yikes.
Yikes.
This is not nice.
He is not nice.
Yeah, putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they talked about at least some of the stuff I heard.
Honestly, I don't know how you even compare the two. That's just weird to me.
I agree. But it did get compared a lot to Sunday in the Park, in that it is a highly fictionalized version of her life.
I was just about to say, that makes sense to
yes.
me, being a fictionized
yeah.
on a real person and a real product.
What
I get that.
What I find interesting that they're taking a lot of heat because it's fictionalized, because the
well,
things that they depict.
Well, they didn't go after Mary Lincoln, did they?
The things they depict, no, they didn't. The things they depict in the show did not happen in fact, and they're taking heat for it, which I think is silly. It's a play.
They say it's fiction.
They don't pretend it's real.
They're not selling you something else. So
anyway, Jesse Green ends his review saying that there is little, if any, historical truth in that characterization. And that characterization is not ultimately the problem. The painter George Surratt in Sunday in the Park with George, a show referenced in the first lines of the script, is largely fictionalized too, a cad to his mistress and generally unlikable. Limpica doesn't have the craft, especially in the misaccented, often vague lyrics, to make its title character a relatable modern woman, nor the boldness to let her be awful and great. Perhaps if it were less of a machine, she could be more of a monster. Mm. Okay. There you sure. go. Okay.
I don't know.
I haven't seen it. So other.
I haven't really heard a lot of the make. Oh, by the way, she was a Polish painter from 1898 to 1980.
There you go. Thank you.
Oh.
Lived a long life.
Yeah. No kidding.
So
and
other.
And in the U.S.
Other critics, Broadway News' Brittany Samuel, said, ultimately, they scraped together a delicious, delirious portrait of this largely unknown juggernaut, portly, messy, yet permanently enthralling and unforgettable Broadway experience. Adam Feldman of Time Out said, Eden Espinoza in the title role is at her best in these bookend scenes. Espinoza unleashes her powerful voice throughout the show in bursts of sounds that are impressive.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, is someone going to say anything about Eden Espinoza? Like, I can't see.
Well, he
that
did.
Job.
Jesse Green did mention all the performers, talk about it here. Sarah Holdren said, aesthetically, the most striking thing about the production is Ricardo Hernandez's towering set, all angles and stairs and curving metal, part deco, part construction. Constructionism. I can't pronounce that word.
Constructionism.
Yeah, I'm just going to say yes. Part off the geometry of the Eiffel Tower.
That's what I saw was a few photos, and it did take me to a few of those things in my head that I was like, I need to see more of this, but I haven't heard a lot to give my...
Yeah. Well, we shall see. All right, we're all already running out of time, so now I've got to edit what we're going to talk about. I will, while I'm turning the page, Patti LuPone is set to come back to Broadway.
Yes, which is interesting because
she's
quit
not in
Broadway
Equity.
And she's not in Equity anymore.
Oh. Yeah, along with Mia Farrow.
I know.
And she is going to do this show, sans Equity Card. And
I know.
They're saying... claiming right-to-work status, even though New York isn't a right-to-work state. It'll be interesting to see how that...
I found the whole thing interesting.
...runs through. Anyway, the play's called The Roommate. It's by Jen Silverman. It's directed by Jack O'Brien. And it is at my favorite small theater, The Booth.
I know.
So, hold on. Let's look at our list and see what we want to...
can I say something that isn't on here? Just say it really quick.
Sure.
Since you played that opening number... from Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the 20th anniversary of Reefer Madness, the musical? They're doing a special event out in LA at the end of May, and Alan Cumming and Christian Campbell and Kristen Bell from the original cast of the movie all came back to produce it and are doing all these it's really wacky with all these fun events, and they've been putting out these fun videos, and I just think it's cool. 20th anniversary of that.
20th anniversary. I hope they do it on 420.
So
on the 20th.
I think it's 4:30 or something, but yes. Or
anyway,
5, because we're in April. That's May.
Also opening off Broadway was the show Sally and Tom, which seems like a lot of fun. It's about Sally Hemings
and Thomas
Jefferson. written by Susan Laurie Parks, done at the Public Theater.
Is it a biography or did they take liberties?
It's exactly the truth. But they do talk about how, you know, because we don't know the truth of their relationship.
Right.
We don't know whether they actually had a good relationship or not. And that's one of the things that this show is about, is I'm gleaming. I can never really tell the plot when I read these reviews, but it's a play within a play. It's about a company producing a show about Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. And I believe the director, who is also one of the actors in the play within a play, really wants to wants to prop up the love story and make it truly a love story. But here's the interesting thing that I did not know, and probably everybody else here did. Thomas Jefferson was one of the few founding fathers that did not free his slaves, even after his death. She was never free.
You
would think after he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, just scot free. She could just leave at that point.
You would think.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's I don't want to go into detail because we don't have time, but it looks like a lot of fun. The review from Jesse Green, he liked it. He called it. He made it a critic's pick. No, he didn't. Never mind. I think he liked it though. I can never tell.
He liked it. Sometimes you can't with him. It's so ambiguous. Yeah. You're like, what does that mean?
He calls Susan Laurie Parks our most Shakespearean playwright. I think it's an interesting thing.
You know
thing.
What? I could see that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Shakespeare be the most Shakespearean play? No.
But
he's ours, not ours. Our generation.
But yes. Well, actually, that's argument. That's arguable. It's not everybody believes that he wrote his own stuff.
Yes. I was like, that's a whole nother rabbit hole.
So interesting thing about the amount of female directors this season. There are a lot of them. Nearly half of the 21 musicals. That have opened were directed by women or co-directed with a woman or half woman. So that's interesting. Hold on, there was some negative. So in however many years that have gone out, women have just not been very
represented,
and they haven't won hardly anything. So we may get a situation this year where all the nominated shows are directed by women. How amazing would that be? Mm-hmm. Then they'd be forced to give us a Tony.
Tonys are canceled.
So across the Tonys, 76 past ceremonies. After the 76 past ceremonies, so 76 years, only 41 female-identifying individuals have been nominated in the directing categories.
What was it, 47?
41.
That seemed
the past 76 years.
It's still a larger number than I thought. And how sad
is
that?
Amazing. That's sad that you would think
that. That's sad. I agree. The number.
Yeah. And there have been 139 awards that have been given for direction. Only 12 have gone to women. And of that, it's 10 individual directors. So this is an interesting. Marianne Elliott has won 3 times, and she's the only woman to win multiple Tonys as director. Wow. Sad. Sad, sad, sad. All right. I think that's going to be it. I do want to say that the Wiz is opening tonight.
It is.
So we will indeed be talking about it next week on the show. And hopefully we'll have really good things to say about it. So with that in mind, let's go out and listen to Y'all Got It from the Wiz. We will be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. It is...
Wednesday.
It is a Wednesday. It is muggy and it's icky. I'm just going to say that.
Well, you know what?
That's a technical term.
We don't have the humidity like Miami, so like, there you go. There's your shining.
Okay. Well, we also don't have the ocean like Miami.
That's true too. But we weren't going there, Lisa.
I went there.
Positive right now.
I went there. Let's reintroduce our guests for the reason why they're actually here. It's the folks from Filigree Theater and their show Above the Fold. We have the artistic director, the founder, and the director of this piece, Elizabeth Newman. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello. Hello.
And then we have two of the performers. We have Julius Elums. Did I do it? I did it wrong.
Well, you did. You had it right the first time.
Yeah, and yeah, that's
the second time.
I should have asked. So give it to me again.
Yeah, Alums.
Alums. I did it right the first time.
You did. You were like right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. And Maggie Scanlon.
Maddie Scanlon. But Maggie Scanlon is here.
Maggie's still here.
We do. We were going to get to
Maggie. She's an actor.
Yes. Yes.
Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome to my show. Yeah. Elizabeth, tell us about this show, Above the Fold.
So it is a new work by Julie Zaffirano. And it is set in 1935 based on true life events.
So this one's true.
This one, yeah, well, yes. Well, what's interesting is there was a grand jury trial about a potential murder of the death of a rising musical theater star, Evelyn Hoey. And her manager slash perhaps married boyfriend, lover, was on trial, grand jury trial, to see if he was culpable for her death. And this took place in Glenmore, Pennsylvania. So that is happening across the street from where our show takes place, in the courthouse. The show takes place in the Turk's Head Tavern, which is a real place in Glenmore, Pennsylvania, with the host of newspaper reporters and journalists and photographers who are there to report on the grand jury trial.
So the fictional character over here and over here.
Yeah,
so
it's
fiction meets fact.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So Evelyn Hoey is a real person. Henry Rogers III was a real person. Standard Oil heir. And
SOH, we call those.
It's funny. We were doing the calculations of, you know, however much money in 1935, what that would translate to today.
yeah.
Anyway, so it's sort of like His Girl Friday, where we are with the action takes place in the bar room in the tavern with our reporters, who are fictionalized characters. Mm-hmm.
And like so, that. Wonderful. Julius, tell us about your character.
Roy, I mean, he's a fun guy.
he's a mushroom?
Yeah, well, so he's... I would say he's a seasoned guy. He's a seasoned reporter. He's been doing it for quite some time, very successful, and he's very proud of himself. He has a lot of confidence in his knowledge and his skill set. And his confidence turns into, you know, a little bit of cockiness around his peers.
New York Times.
It's New York Times, baby. Okay. I mean, it's the time to be alive, and it's he's thriving in his success. But he's very business-oriented. I feel like he kind of paints this picture of... how far are you willing to dive into your career, and how much passion you can put into it? But does that take you away from other things in life, which is morals and value and respecting other people's privacy? So I believe I like the balance of, you know, being someone who's headstrong and what he wants, but also, like, you know, he's like, okay, what? But I also have a family that I haven't seen in a long time. Mm. So it's two loves of his life that he's battling with. But, you know, he definitely gets the scoop. I'll tell you that much.
He's from the paper of record.
He's good at what he does.
Okay, and Maddie, tell us about your character, Dorothy.
Yes, Dorothy is also a reporter. She's the only female reporter in the room and at her job for the Philadelphia Inquirer. And she is competing with the men, trying to keep up, but also fighting for the truth, which the men in the courthouse and in the barroom are more reporting facts about what happened and kind of painting Evelyn as a floozy, an infomaniac, if you will, which is a line from the play. And Dorothy is fighting for the recognition of Evelyn as a human being, as a woman, a young woman who is brave and ambitious. And she sees herself in Evelyn, especially in this room full of men. And she kind of realizes that she doesn't want to compete. She wants to break this mold, and bring more integrity into this world of reporting in the 30s, which was really just about sensationalism and, you know, kind of trying to sell newspapers and make headlines.
Not like reporting today.
You mean nothing like today?
You're right, actually. You're
a strange land.
Yes. She would do well in this era as well.
If we treat everybody with respect here.
That's a very good point, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So what is, why are we doing this show right now? Why did you choose this for your season?
So this is our third show of the season, which mm-hmm. is our New Works and World premieres. This is our fifth anniversary season, and the theme this season is the woman in the story. So in this story, we have Dorothy, we have Evelyn, who is sort of the ghost of Evelyn, is the one who haunts the story.
Is she a character in the show?
Well, we hear her voice.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. I felt like she was a character even if she didn't have lines the way they're talking.
Yeah, yeah. She and Henry Rogers, we hear their voices.
Oh, okay.
We also have Minnie, who is the young woman who runs the bar and the tavern, who... life has sort of taught some hard lessons. She's the most, I think, we've talked about her as the moral center.
Yes, the moral compass, story. For sure.
So we have many women in the story. And, you know, as we were just talking about how it's fun to sort of look back to a contemporary play, a new work that was written about a period in time that's almost 100 years ago, but how fresh it still feels and how these are still questions that we're wrestling with.
Amazing. And y'all are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
I hope so.
I hope we're prepared.
Just a tad. A small smidge of a scene.
Does it need setting up? You want to set it up for us?
I don't think so. Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah. We're reporters.
Yeah, we have Roy and Dorothy, they're in the tavern, and Evelyn's parents. While Evelyn is obviously has passed away.
She's gone.
Her parents and her mother is another of the women in the story, is on the scene.
Okay. Well, this is Julius Allams, and I'm just scared now. Julius Allams and Maddie Scanlon doing a scene from Filigree Theater's Above the Fold.
Congratulations on your exclusive.
It wasn't like that.
What does she think of the suicide angle? Does she like Rogers, think of him as a future son-in-law?
I didn't ask.
No one has been able to get near that family in weeks, and you sit here with her and shoot the breeze. What did you wheedle out of her?
I don't wheedle.
Well, you didn't swap recipes. You must have used every ounce of your charm to convince her to open up to you.
She doesn't know I'm a reporter.
One woman to another, eh?
Maybe I should have told her.
Did she ask?
No. I told her I worked here. I said in the hotel, which is technically true.
Then you didn't lie.
I feel like I did.
You know, if you want to make it in this biz, you're going to have to swallow that sentimentality. It's our job to sniff out the news. Now, if you're getting squeamish, I'm sure your paper can send a man out.
I can do my job. Better than any man.
Did you talk about Rogers?
A little.
Anything quotable?
Yes.
You write that, and it'll get picked up nationally. I'll talk to my editor about getting it picked up in the Times.
You will?
Absolutely.
If I learn something,
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I did. Mm. This is purely hypothetical. But if I learn something...
It would be big news. You would make a name for yourself. And see.
Excellent. Amazing. That's wonderful. It reminds me just of current stuff. If anybody's watching the TV series, The Girls on the Bus.
Oh, no, but I know what you're talking about.
I'm going to say yes.
I think it might be.
But it's about the reporter pool following a candidate and four women of different from various things. And there's a whole thing around two people kind of working together to break a story from competing newspapers. That made me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's amazing. So
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, yay. I enjoyed it as well.
Thank you.
It makes me want to see the show because I want to find out what the scoop is.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
That's amazing, and I love stories about media.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to say that. I love it.
You do, don't
yes.
you? Now that you say that.
I do. I like it.
That does bring a little truth.
So tell me about anybody else on the production team you want to talk about or highlight?
Ooh, can I just say that our set and our costumes and our props are so incredible and beautiful in our amazing space.
Who created that set, props, and...
Patrick Anthony on set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Patrick Anthony.
Patrick on scenic and lighting, and Maddie Lamb on costumes, and Liz Tyson on props.
Lovely. And, we love all three of those people.
Yes. And Johan Solo on our sound design. So hearing the voices of Evelyn and Henry Rogers kind of infusing the space. And we are at Factory on 5th, where we've been all season.
Where you've been all season. So is this the last show of the season?
It is.
And so can you tease either what's the theme for the next season is going to be, or are you going to stay at Factory on 5th? What's going on? Give us the scoop.
I'm not ready to announce. There are things in the works.
Okay.
So
when will we hear more? Possibly spring, summer?
Yes. By the end, probably May, June. We'll be able to.
Right. Well, we will look forward to it. Yeah. It's always...
I'm teasing the teaser.
We love that about that.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it's not about that. And how big is your cast?
There are 6 actors on stage and 2 vocal actors.
Yeah. And who else can you tell us who the other actors are?
We have Julius and we have Maddie and we have Shane Cullum and Toluani and Joe Kelly and Angela Latham. And we have Ariel Lagoutte as the voice of Evelyn Hoey, and we have her singing, and it's just haunting. Mm-hmm. And Bailey Ellis as our Henry Rogers III.
Lovely. Yeah, I don't know the woman you just mentioned, but I'm in love with her name.
Yes, yeah. If I have added a little flourish on it, I'm sorry, Ariel. I couldn't help it.
Well, that's amazing. When do you guys open?
We open tomorrow evening.
Tomorrow.
Yana.
On the 18th. And are you an indoor?
Yes.
Okay. So because it's supposed to rain on Saturday. So
great.
Yeah, I know. Never
rain here. I have the same thing. The play is warm not raining inside.
The flowers will be happy.
Well, that's good. The flowers will be happy. Well, wonderful. And when do you close? How long do you play?
We run from the 18th through the 28th. Thursdays through Sundays at 8 p.m. And Sundays, we also have a 3 p.m. matinee.
And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go visit, if they would like, the tickets and information at filigreetheater.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
I hope you have a wonderful run.
Thank you.
That was Elizabeth Newman, Maddie Scanlon, and Julius Allams of Filigree Theaters Above the Fold, playing tomorrow, the 18th through the 28th at Factory on 5th. For more information, you may visit filigreetheater.com. And because, we're just worried about who actually did it, I'm playing the song He Did It from Curtains. We'll be back.
She did it, I know.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. What a great time we had spending with that group.
That sounds like a very fascinating piece, and I enjoyed that little scene.
Yeah, I wanted to, I wish I could do that like 30s reporter voice.
Little Gloria Vanderbilt came out of the courtroom today. All eyes were upon her. The orphan child. Yeah, that.
Yeah, you want to keep going?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I can't do that voice. So let's talk about what's going on locally here. I should say that we have, our last guests have left, and we've been replaced miraculously by Mr. Ken Webster. Hi, Ken.
Hello, good afternoon.
Welcome back on this muggy day.
It's a strange Wednesday.
So I want to talk about this one thing that I saw when I went on to atxtheater.org. It's this thing called The Story Goes On, Chapter and Verse. It's a cabaret, I guess. Lori Huffman Powell, do you know her?
I do.
You need to speak into the microphone.
Sorry, I do. I feel like you know her too.
I must, because she's evidently, according to the blurb, she's an award-winning actor who's performed in the Austin area for over 40 years. Yes. Anyway, she's doing a cabaret act at Studio A Piano, which I've never heard of either.
Me neither.
Best I can figure, so I looked at their website. It is a school of some sort, but they have a little studio performance space. It's at 290 near I-35. It's very close to the new stage Sterling Events Center stage, Austin, whatever it's called. But anyway, this is called The Story Goes On, Chapter and Verse. Our good friend Adam Roberts is the musical director. So it looks interesting.
Every time I see the title, I want to start singing The Beat Goes On.
Why is that?
Because it says The Story Goes On, and my head just goes right away to The Beat Goes On. To Sunny and Cher. I don't know.
All right, that's good. I like it. So let's talk about what's going on. There's lots of stuff happening.
There is a lot of stuff.
Anklets in the Boardroom has their show on the 20th. Of course, we're going to learn all about this. The Good Thief is playing at Hyde Park Theater through the 27th. Year of Frog and Toad.
Our friend Frog and Toad.
I actually deleted this and then had to put it back because I thought
we had it in here like 10 times before.
Right, but I also had the wrong stop date. But it plays through the 12th of May.
Correct.
The Prom is also playing through the 12th of May.
Yes.
Born with Teeth at Austin Playhouse plays through the 28th.
Yes.
Into the Woods. We had them on last
week. Yes, we did. That was fun, too.
Mary Moody Northern Theater is playing through the 21st. We just spoke to them. Above the Fold, Filigree Theaters playing for the 18th through the 28th. And then we have our pair of Romeos and Juliet. So Romeo e Juliet at UT plays through the 21st. And then there's Romeo and Juliet, who plays through the 28th over at the Curtain Theater.
It's the Barrensmen.
The Barrensmen, thank you. 2024 Latinx New Play Festival by Teatro Vivo is playing the 25th through the 27th. Yikes, I didn't say what theater it's at. I can't remember. Do you know off the top of your head?
It's at Zach.
I don't.
It's at Zach. There you go. Girl from the North Country is playing Broadway in Austin on the 23rd through the 28th. I will be there on the 23rd. I don't think there's any problem with me saying this, but ATX Theater has a program. You know, one of the things that we really want to let people know is that there is theater here in town. It's one of the things that we talked about during the pandemic. And so to that end, Bob Bursey at Texas Performing Arts is allowing us to have a table in the lobby to let people know, let all these 2,000 to 3,000 theater goers that come to see these Broadway shows that other theater exists. So I think that's really great.
That is great.
That they can get theater all the time. They don't just have to wait.
Yeah, they don't have to wait for Broadway in Austin.
Nope.
But to also go to Broadway Austin. I'm looking forward to seeing this show.
So it's very interesting. Do you know anything about it?
Well, only what we've talked about here.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting show. The more I work on it, the more I get fascinated by it myself.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing it.
So a lot of talented people in this cast.
Good.
And you'll be able to understand Bob Dylan's lyrics.
Yeah, and I believe we will be joined next week's show by telephone with one of the actors.
Oh!
I don't think that's been confirmed yet, but I'm working on it.
All right.
So we will have them on the show next week after. I will be seeing the show on Tuesday night. So
I'll be in Houston the following week with it.
There you go. Let's see. The Black Feminist Guide to the Human Body is still playing this through the 4th
Lisa
at the Vortex.
Lisa B. Thompson.
Lisa B. We love her.
Love her.
Last weekend to see Log Cabin, Austin Rainbow Theater. I believe they're at Trinity.
Austin.
Yeah, I can't.
We live in Austin.
We still have the thing that Cheerful Secrets is doing, Overheard on a Train, where you can have
a reading on a train.
And then Deaf Austin Theater is opening the new theater space at Sterling Event Center on May 10th through the 26th with
Tiny Beautiful Things.
And that's that. And so now let's talk about today in theater history.
Today in theater history. Today
in theater history.
What was it?
Making history today, The Wiz is starting. I say it every time it happens, but it bugs me that they put something that's happening today in the theater history thing.
Well, you know what? Would The Wiz know? Because it's been 40 years since that show has been done, and that is a crime within itself.
There you go. Let's go to the birthdays. Rebecca Luker, 1961.
Oh, okay.
L. Scott Caldwell.
Okay.
Thornton Wilder.
Really?
Yeah, he's still kicking. No, he's not. He was born in 1897. And Jennifer Garner. It's her birthday as well. The opening.
An interesting group of folk.
Yep. A Catered Affair opened in 2008. Groundhog Day opened in 2017.
Oh, Andy Carl.
The Minutes opened in 2022. Twilight Los Angeles, 1992. which I don't remember anything about. It opened in 1994 at the Court Theater. Hmm. I don't know anything about it. And then, of course, the bombshell that is Hadestown opened in 2019.
It's an interesting article on Hadestown today. I'll share it with you later. We can talk about it next week. It's just talking about how the one show that was so off the cuff that people were like, you need a certain group, it's never going to work, has become one of the Broadway mainstays, like the Wicked's and the Chicago's and the Lion King and the formula. And it was a really, you know, at first I was like, yeah, we've heard that. It was a really interesting article. I'll share it with you.
That's fine. I was one of those people. I'm not overly impressed with Hadestown. I'm not sure what all the hullabaloo was about. But I seem to be a one person out of nobody else feels that way.
I really enjoy it, but I don't think it's the best thing I've ever seen. Yeah,
I was like, oh,
but I really, really enjoyed it. And I'm glad I saw the original cast that I did.
Well, that might have made a difference. And it might have made a difference for me if I saw it on Broadway, because you don't have the technical stuff that you have on the Broadway stage.
No, the turntables and the howl and the down.
And the going and down. And none of that
going
happens.
On down. Yeah, there's a lot. Right. I could see that being hard. I could see that.
Let's listen to Nothing Changes from Hadestown. We'll be right back with Ken Webster.
Okay.
Why the struggle? Why the strain? Why make trouble? Why make scenes?
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air. Oh, I did not take the correct fader down. That music just kept playing.
Well, you know,
so we're back.
So bad.
So we are here with Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater. Ken is the artistic director of Hyde Park Theater, and he is the sole performer in the show we're talking about, which is The Good Thief by Connor McPherson.
Aye.
The marketing on this has been really good. You've popped up a few times in it, and I've giggled.
Thank you.
So I was excited to see you were on today.
Well, you are reprising this role.
Yes, I've done quite a few one-person shows, but this is the only one that I had only done once.
Okay.
Prior to this
2009?
Close, 2011.
Oh, that's close.
The so it must number. Hit different a little bit this... From 2011 to now?
Yes. I think I'm probably more age appropriate now.
13 years Isn't that
later.
Funny when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the show. What is it for those that don't know?
It is a wonderful script by Connor McPherson. I play an unnamed man.
Uh-huh.
My name is never mentioned.
Oh.
But I'm a low-rent Irish thug who goes on, you know, jobs, as he says in the play. I was working in as a paid thug for Joe Murray. I scared people, set fire to places, shot people as warnings.
Well, why else would you do it?
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to shoot you.
Yeah, just going to.
So he's sent on a job, a simple job, that goes horribly, horribly wrong. Oh,
so not such a good thief
after
all. I
was like, not so simple anymore.
Yeah, it's a very funny script. It's harrowing, funny, sad, and he's a flawed character. He's kind of an anti-hero.
You've done other Connor McPherson shows, have you not,
I've done,
at Hyde Park Theater?
St. Nicholas, another one-person show where I played a drunken Irish theater critic who winds up in the employ of vampires. and we...
How, you know, if I had a nickel.
I was just about to say, can we talk about that again? That's great.
And we did Port Authority with Tom Green and... Nate Jackson and myself, and then we also did The Night Alive a few years ago.
Huh.
Connor's an interesting character. His work is interesting, and he's an interesting character.
He is, and we also love Martin McDonagh over at Hyde Park Theater, but those two don't get along.
Oh.
Interesting.
They're not fans of each other.
That's interesting.
That is interesting. Someone needs to write a play about that.
Yeah. Yes. You know anybody that could do that?
I could probably find another guy with an Irish accent. So.
Well, that's amazing. So when you did this in 2011, you also performed in it as well.
Uh-huh.
You're performing and directing.
Yes.
Awesome. How is this version different from 2011 for you?
The actor is older.
Well, he's better.
The director is older. I'm 13 years wiser, I think. I'm much more in tune with this guy. I'm really sympathetic to him. I've always liked anti-heroes.
Mm-hmm.
He does some bad things, but he's good at heart. Yeah, and he some of the stuff he says is very poetic for someone who's just a low rent thug, former army guy. But he likes to read. He likes to discuss film and stuff like that. He's really complicated.
Did you want to do a little piece of it for us here on the air?
Sure. I had to think to find a place.
What radio friendly.
Yeah. There is some strong language. If you're afraid of strong language, just stay home.
I'm not afraid of strong language.
But I found a chunk I can do where I don't.
Great. Do you need to set it up?
Yeah. He's sent on this job. He's supposed to scare Mr. Mitchell, who owns some buildings that he mostly leases to food importers, but he also sometimes hangs on to dodgy gear from some of the bigger robberies in Dublin. And he's behind in rent, and my boss, Joe Murray, has sent me over just to scare him.
Okay. Well, this is Ken Webster doing a piece from Hyde Park Theater's The Good Thief.
I woke up about 9 with a blinder of a hangover. I considered not doing the job for Murray, but he had given me a sub, and that meant that it was important to him. I did a trick from my days as a second lieutenant, which always fooled my body into action. First, I took some aspirin, then some Vivioptal tablets, which are a tonic, giving you energy after you've been sick, then a Valium, then I put the kettle on. I ran a cold bath while I shaved. I stripped, and hitting the water was like being born. Everything went mad. I put my head under the water and blew bubbles. I stood up and let my body get warm before sliding under for another shock. I was shivering while I dried myself. I made a huge hot whiskey with lemon and cloves, and it blew the roof off my head, made me drunk very quickly. I had another one, and then I checked my guns. The shotgun I had was beautifully handmade by a man in Mullingar, but, of course, I'd ruined it by sawing the barrel in half. It was lethal, and it often frightened me to carry it. I was always worried it would go off. I also had a very old, very beautiful Webley revolver, which was more just in case. I was told that this one I had been used to give the coup de grace to deserters in France. I never knew if it was true. It was accurate up to about 60 yards, and it was so pristine, I doubted it had ever seen action. It was starting to rain when I got to the car. My hangover was starting to catch up with me, so I wanted to get this over with quickly. There was only old Tat on the radio, but I kept it on for company. When I was nearly there, I took my bag of gear out. I had a balaclava for extra frighteners, and an industrial anorak, because only Mettlers wore them as everyday jackets. The address I wanted was in a new estate where everything looked a bit pokey. Looking back, I don't know why I put a cartridge in the shotgun. My revolver was always loaded and I kept it in the back of my jeans, but I never trusted the shotgun. I had very few cartridges anyway. Maybe I wanted to make some noise if this Mitchell guy knew how to take care of himself.
Oh my gosh. Yikes. Yeah, well, I'm scared.
He's charming and scary. I get it. Yep.
I am totally scared. Well, now you have already opened.
Yes, we opened last Thursday.
And how are things going?
Good. It's going very well. It's drawing better than it did.
Excellent.
Back in 2011. And it's outdrawing St. Nicholas, which did okay.
Interesting.
About a year ago.
Yeah.
Well, and how long do you play? How much time do we have to go see this thing?
This weekend and next, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Okay. So you close on the 27th?
Correct.
Awesome. And where do folks go to get more information?
Where?
Our lovely website, hydeparktheater.org.
Awesome. Ken, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you. So that much. Was
I look
awesome
forward to
sauce.
Seeing the show.
It's always good you. To see you.
Good to
wonderful.
See you.
Wonderful. That was the amazing Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater and their production, The Good Thief, performing now through the 27th. For more information, you may visit hydeparktheater.org. And this is
an interesting choice of songs.
Irish Spring.
from
the show He's Lost His Marbles. We'll be right back.
Irish Spring
take this ring as I sing to you. You're just soap, but I hope that our love is...
Oh, that was so much fun.
So much fun.
I wish I could I wish I could have that Irish accent bottled, because it's really lovely.
It is lovely. You know, it's the accent of some of my people.
We are out of time. Thank you again for this week.
Thank you.
And we'll see each other next week.
We will.
So coming up next here on KOOP is the Austin Common, no, the Austin no, Cooperative Hour. And this week it's Racism on the Levels, with Stacey Frazier. And so I'm very excited. I did not get to play this song last week to go out, so I decided to...
Oh, you put it on.
I put it on again.
Back this in is, rotation.
This is from White Girls in Danger from... Michael R. Jackson.
Uh-huh.
And this is a song sung by...
One. Vincent Hooper.
Vincent Jamal Hooper.
Yes.
So I was very excited to see this. This cast album just came out. White Girls in Danger. I said that.
No. Isn't the song called Stay in My Lane?
Oh, Stay in My Lane. Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We should say the song title.
So anyway, Vincent, for those of you who don't know him, is a local performer, or was a local performer here, a local actor, and he's gone on to perform in Hamilton. And
he's currently Simba in The Lion King.
He's currently in Lion King.
As Simba. Like, he's not just in The Lion King, he's playing Simba, people.
Well, yeah, he doesn't seem to play small parts.
No.
This Vincent Hooper. And, he did an amazing job at the Zach stage in The Heights.
He did it in The Heights. He,
so he's done lots of things.
Yeah,
he
does a lot of stuff with Impact Arts and Summerstock.
Anyway,
and
let's listen to him, and we'll see you next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I knew that was going to happen.
I mean, that's like, are we already to next Wednesday?
I knew that was going to happen. Here we go. Let's try this again.
I see the role you're meant to play. It's loving me in the black.